Good morning. It's good to see you here today. And we trust that you are having a good day celebrating the love of the Lord. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject of the supreme task of the church. The supreme task of the church. I wonder if you'd please look with me at the Gospel of Mark chapter 16. Jesus has risen from the dead at this situation, and he has met, he is meeting, with the disciples the first time as a group. And you will remember that prior to this, he has made some appearances to other individuals, and they have come and talked with the apostles and that type of thing. We haven't had the chance yet to see him. And this particular commissioning is a commissioning that takes place the first time that Jesus appears to all of them as a group. And when he first appears with them, he's not very happy. And he's not very happy because of the unbelief. He has gone through and declared to his disciples, yes, I'm going to die. Yes, I will rise again. Yes, I will ascend back to the Father. Yes, I will send another, the Spirit of God, the Comforter, who will dwell within you. And so he has risen from the dead, and they're assembled together, and he makes this appearance, and then he makes this commissioning. So let's look at this. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. And afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he reproached them. That word reproached means he rebuked them. He scolded them, if you will, for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Let's pray. Our Father, in these few simple words, Jesus laid out his commissioning for the great task, the supreme task of the church. Father, in modern day times, the church greatly fails because we do not take this commissioning as seriously as we ought. Father, I pray that you would help each of us to determine that we're going to follow your command, that we are going to follow your commissioning, and that, Lord, we will be those type of disciples of yours, those followers of yours, that will honor your word. And Lord, we'll give you thanks, and we'll give you glory, and we'll give you praise, for you are the one who is worthy. And it's in your glorious and righteous and holy name that we pray. Amen. The supreme task of the church was given to the church by Jesus himself. And as we look at this task in verses 14 through 16, we see what the church is supposed to do. Now, in modern day times, people interpret this to be, this is what the pastor should do. That's not right. Should the pastor be winning people to Jesus Christ? Yeah. Not because he's the pastor, but because he's a Christian. And so it's not just the pastor's job to win people to Christ, but it is the church's job overall to be witnesses. It is the church's job to let their lights so shine before men that men will see Jesus Christ in them. And this is what Jesus is talking about. He is meeting with the surviving 11 that have been his disciples. And so he gives them this command. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. It's an interesting thing in this, because by this statement, he is letting them know that he doesn't care what the color of the skin is of those that they preach to. He doesn't care what the nationality of the individual is that he wants them to preach to. He doesn't care where they live in terms of geographical area. What he's telling them is that it is their responsibility to preach the gospel, to tell the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere. Doesn't matter where people are in this world. It's the church's responsibility to take the gospel to the world. This is the task that he's given us. And it is the task that he has given to every believer. Now, there are hindrances that keep the church from carrying out this great task. We need to be aware of them. And we need to search ourselves when it comes to these things. Because one of those things is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is saying one thing, living something else. And the world judges the church by what they see from the people of God. If they see someone who enters the house of God to worship on Sunday and then hears them telling the dirty stories on Monday, they judge the church. If they see and hear those who tear others apart, then he holds them accountable and responsible. And that type of thing injures the body of Christ. Hypocrisy, if you want to find out what a hypocrite is, look up Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28. Those two verses will tell you exactly what a hypocrite is. And we need to examine our lives and see whether or not we are involved in hypocrisy. That's a hindrance to our effectiveness in this world. Second hindrance is this: it's unfaithfulness. You know, the world is watching. Folks, they're watching. And if they see us being unfaithful to Christ, they read that quicker than anything. Excuse me. I remember when I first became a believer. And, you know, I'd come out of a life of, it was a little rough. Alcoholism, rock and roll music. I played in bands and all that kind of thing, and all the bars, all the clubs. From Erie to Cleveland to Buffalo, all this area. And when I became a believer in Jesus Christ, all of that crowd began to watch me. My immediate friends kept saying, "Oh, don't worry, this is just a phase he's going through. He'll get over it. He'll be back. He'll be back." And they watched. And they watched, and they watched. Jesus was faithful. so was I. I was faithful to find myself in church worshiping the Lord. I was faithful to share my faith and witness with people. And I'll tell you, when I became a believer, I was dumber than a rock because I wasn't raised in church. Never owned a Bible. In fact, my family didn't. I'd used God's name a lot, but not in the kind of praiseworthy actions. I'd heard God's name used a lot, but not in a wholesome fashion. But when I first heard that Jesus loved me, that he died for me, and I lined myself up with him, that was too good a news to become unfaithful. And yet the number one problem of the church today is unfaithfulness. If there's some type of entertainment, bam, going to miss church because this is more entertaining. If there's some type of activity, boom, I'm going to miss church. Yesterday on my Facebook post, I talked about the idea of fast food restaurant Christianity. And that's the way that the people choose the church, you know. We have become a fast food society. And we go to McDonald's one day, and we go to Burger King the next day, and we go to Wendy's the next day, and Long John Silver's the next time, and, you know, and I mean, we're just jumping all over the place. And that's the way people treat their church in modern day times. Well, it's unimportant if we're having worship services. This church is going to be having this singing group in, so I'm going to go there. It's unfaithfulness. And you see, unfaithfulness comes about when we become connected with a body of believers. That body begins to rely on us. And they have a right to. And if we're running here and there and doing this and doing that and absenting ourselves because, you know, there's a great football game on or, you know, there's a great baseball game on or whatever, but we begin to remove ourselves from worship and faithfulness, people notice the instability. And they judge the church by whether or not we are faithful. So it's important that we don't allow that to become a hindrance to our effective witness for Christ. Another hindrance is a lack of concern. And this is shown by many lives today. People don't really care about lost neighbors. They care about their families, maybe. They really don't care about their lost neighbors, their lost community. They're unwilling to make the sacrifices necessary to build the body of Christ. And another thing is a lack of vision. Proverbs 29:18 tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And that lack of vision of lost souls has really penetrated the church today. And it's sad. Those kind of hindrances keep the church from carrying out and being victorious and successful in doing the supreme task that the church is to do. We need to all step back, evaluate ourselves, and say, okay, is this me? Am I being a hypocrite? Am I being unfaithful? Do I have a lack of concern? Do I have a lack of wisdom? Or excuse me, a vision? And if these things are a part of the life, then we need to get on our knees before God and rectify those things and make them right. And in order to accomplish the task that Jesus has given us by this great commission of going into all the world, there's some things that we need to follow through on. We need to follow, first of all, in our devotion to Christ. Jesus said, "Follow me." And that's what we need to do. We need to follow him. I find it very interesting because Jesus calls us to be fishers of men. Right? He does. He calls us to be fishers of men. But the good part about that is that he equips us to do that. Follow me, be fishers of men, and I will make you fishers of men. And so he promises involvement in our lives to equip us and to empower us to be what he's asking us to be. He doesn't ask us to do it without his help, without his training, without his strength. But he promises to give us those things. And so if we're devoted to him, he is faithful to really bring about in our lives that which is going to honor him. And so we need to follow that. And so that's the first help to fulfilling this supreme task. The second thing is we need to have a separation or a consecration, if you will. We need to separate ourselves from those things that hold us back or hinder us from being what we could be for him, and allow our lives then to be a sacrifice to Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, living, if you will. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not transformed to this world, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what the excellent and perfect will of God is. You see, what Jesus is telling us through the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, 1 and 2, is that we need to sacrifice our will to perform the will of God. And then the third thing is going to help us to fulfill the supreme task of the church is that we need to surrender ourselves to service. Serving him is the most important thing. We do that by prayer and faithfulness. Praying, asking God for wisdom, asking God for opportunity, asking God for strength, praying for all of those things that are going to make us what he wants us to be. And then by obeying what God has asked us to do. Let our lights so shine before the world that others may see Christ in us. Folks, that's what it's all about. We need to follow Christ no matter what and to perform his will for our lives exactly as he wants it done. I'd mentioned earlier that next Sunday is going to be the last Sunday of this early service. We want to see you all in the 10:45 or the evening service. There may be a direction we go with something a little different. I don't know. But we're following what the Lord and what we believe the Lord is directing. And change sometimes makes us a little uncomfortable. Sometimes it makes us a little upset. But when we're following the Lord's direction, change produces greater things. So we want to follow the Lord in whatever He's asking. Would you please stand? We want to close our service at this time with a word of prayer. I would like to remind you at the 10:45 service, we're going to be celebrating together in communion. You're all welcome. We'd love to have you. And then at 2 o'clock this afternoon, out at Joanne Chase's and Matt Chase's and Lori's, we're going to be celebrating baptism. This is going to be Sacrament Sunday, if you will. And it's going to be a great time. So we just invite you to come and share in other people's joy as they publicly proclaim their faith and profess their love for Jesus Christ. So let's pray, and may God bless you as you live for Him throughout this day. Our gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us and for your great grace, your passion for us, and for the peace that you give us. And Lord, I pray and ask that each one of these wonderful people would be blessed by your Spirit, that you would fill them with wisdom, that you would fill them with devotion, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit and with life in all fashions. Father, glorify yourself through each one of them. And we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise. Now watch over us the remainder of this day that we might honor you. And as we leave this place today, may we leave with the purpose of serving you above all. And Lord, we'll give you thanks and praise, for it's in your awesome and incredible name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.